page 7.
The show, we always go to our pals in Washington to talk about what's happening in the inner sanctum of the capital city. Victoria Jones is the chief White House correspondent for Talk Radio News Service, and she joins us to share some insights with us. How about some of your insights into what was the deal with Michelle Obama announcing Argo as the best picture? Wow, a lot of people are reacting to that. I kind of think who cares, but there was kind of a little bit of a blowback to that. What are they saying at the White House?
Well, they're not really saying an awful lot about it at the White House because they've just decided that, you know, it just happened and they're all caught up in the sequester. But I must say that some of my hosts are making a big deal out of it, totally forgetting that Laura Bush made a satellite appearance at the Oscars in 2002. Apparently everybody's forgotten about that. So, which is interesting. But my thought was, do you think they broke their rules and told her who it was going to be ahead of time? Because suppose it had been Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, that would have been so awkward. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if they did because, you know, that's interesting because it seemed like it was like, poof, here's the envelope. She announces it. It does seem like that, and you would think because of how they're so picky about what they do at the Oscars, I mean, forget everything else, that that would be like, that would be just a no-go, that they couldn't do it that way. But you're right, if it had been Zero Dark Thirty, that would have been very, very odd.
It would have been totally odd, and it just occurred to me that really, maybe that's what they did, because, but I mean, that's just, you can't do that.
No. No, that's like cheating, giving the answers ahead of time. Michelle Obama knew before the rest of the country knew, possibly, that Argo had won, even though we might have all thought that. We didn't know that for sure.
Yeah, so I sort of think, well, then maybe they didn't do that. So, but, you know, the films that she could have given it to, she could have given it for Lincoln, she could have given it for Argo, she could have given it for some of the others, but I just don't see how she could have. I mean, it's just, it had torture in it.
That would have been a good story. The First Lady announcing, and congratulations to Zero Dark Thirty. Wow, I didn't even really think of that spin on it. Wow, that's crazy. All right, so that's what you got to ask Jay Carney off to the side eventually. Hey, what's the scoop on? Did she know ahead of time? Yeah, I bet you no one asked that.
Yeah, and he's so responsive.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get right back to you on that.
So,
hey, speaking of responsive, so everything is about this sequester and what's going to happen. And, you know, the headlines are about the jobs that are going to be lost. Janet Napolitano talking about that we're going to be more vulnerable to terrorist attacks now. Panetta's coming out and saying the same thing, scaring us, talking about fear-mongering. We don't have enough people now. So what's going to happen with all of this being thrown out? Do you think there's going to be some kind of last-minute crazy deal here? Or what?
Actually, I don't. At this point, I don't really think that there is going to be a change. I think that we are going to be pretty much stuck with it because they're not showing an awful lot of urgency. I mean, here's an example. In the House today, House came into session at 2. They went out of session around about, 2:10. Then they came back into session about 5 to name something after Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wow. Nothing's happening then.
I mean, that's all they did. So, I mean, it was an awful lot. So, now, tomorrow, there will be some things going on in the Senate. Tomorrow or Wednesday, they're going to have dueling votes. And neither side is going to vote for the other side. They've got an initial 60-vote required test vote, so it's going nowhere. And I shouldn't think any Republicans will vote for the Democratic plan, which its biggies are eliminating direct payments to farmers and cutting some corporate tax breaks. So that's going to die. And then the Republican plan is keeping the cuts the same debt, but allowing the president lots of leeway to dole them out differently, particularly for the Pentagon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that'll be huge, obviously, once they tinker with that.
Right, but the Democrats aren't going to vote for that.
Yeah, so they're back to the same problem. It's the same problem we always have, Victoria, isn't it? It's the same problem. I mean, listen, if the Democrats and the Republicans were married to each other, it'd be 100% divorce rate.
Yes!
Ridiculous. It is. It's crazy. I mean, I wonder if we went back, if you and I combed through the archives, of course, it would take the rest of our lives to do it. If we went back through every administration and looked through, I wonder if this is one of the worst times, because certainly there have been lots of times where there's been head bashing and problems with both parties and who's in power and what's happening at the White House. But it seems to me like this is going to go down as one of the all-time worst.
It really is. Now, having said that, it could get worse. Because coming up on the 27th of March, the government runs out of funding. And then coming up in May, we have to raise the debt ceiling again. So it could get worse.
Wow. All right, so let's move on to something else, because you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. Chuck Hagel, that vote is set for Tuesday. Look in your Victoria crystal ball and tell us what's going to go on here.
You know, now that they've got Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, Republican, if everybody stays exactly the same, they should limp past the finishing post with 60 votes if nobody switches. And then if they get one more Republican, they'll just romp home with 61.
One more. That's all they need. One more.
Yeah. But yeah. It's not clear what. You know, whether they will get any more or whether it will stay the same.
Yeah. All right, so since we're on sequester watch and cabinet watching to see what's going to happen there and everything else, what about guns? Because with that whole background check and the registry they're talking about and the big proposals by Obama that the Republicans don't like and some of the Democrats like and some of the Democrats don't like some of it, is that kind of getting further and further away, or no, this is just the focus and then eventually it'll bounce back to that?
No, I don't think so. I think this is moving forward. There's going to be another gun hearing. I want to say Judiciary Committee, but I could be wrong because I'm blanking out on it. But there is going to be another Senate hearing on guns this week. And they've made it very clear that they want to have a bill by March. President's made it very clear that if the bipartisan group of senators who are working on it don't get their act together and get it done quickly, he will, he will not be happy about this. The bipartisan group who are working on the background check issue are held up at the moment over apparently the question of whether doing universal background checks would actually result in a gun registry. Now, Senator Chuck Schumer, who's in the group, says no, it won't. And Patrick Leahy, who's not in the group but who's chairman of the Judiciary Committee, says no, it won't. But Senator Tom Coburn, who's in the group, Republican, says he's worried that it will, and that the people who he speaks to, the NRA people and the gun rights people he speaks to, they're all very worried that it could result in a gun registry, and that the people will suddenly find that they're on a list somewhere, and that is holding it up.
Yeah. All right, Victoria Jones, thanks for filling in the blanks. We'll talk to you again, my friend. Thanks.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschammel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Fall in love with food storage savings this February at BePrepared.com. Going on now, BePrepared.com saves you over $300 with a premium 1,600 one-year supply, including 126 cans of freeze-dried and dehydrated food. Or get the new gourmet 14-day food supply with a full 2,000 calories per day with pre-planned menu. Stroganoff and noodles are 20% off with purchase of six or more. Mountain House pork chops are back in stock at 34% off. Pack your own low-moisture foods with our new do-it-yourself Super Pail combo on sale at 22% off. Add to your preparedness with minor surgery kits at 15% off. And wool blended blankets are only $11.89. The February Fall in Love with Savings Sale ends February 28th at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, visit BePrepared.com or call 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
I don't think we can maintain the same level of security at all places around the country with sequester as without sequester. It would negatively affect the mission readiness and capabilities of the men and women on our front lines. It would undermine the significant progress we've made over the past 10 years to build the nation's preparedness and resiliency. Put simply, the automatic budget reduction mandated by sequestration would be disruptive and destructive to our nation's security and economy. If you reduce the number of Border Patrol agents, I think you can say, yes, it does affect our ability to keep out illegal migrants and others trying to enter the country.
Ah, the debate is raging. March 1st is almost here. And you've got to be kidding me, folks. We didn't know this was happening, so suddenly it's doom and gloom. Come on, give me a break. So the House Republicans are saying, look, President Obama, why don't you stop campaigning? Come back, talk to Congress. Let's find an alternative to what's happening with the spending cuts that will hit on Friday. And, you know, forget this going on the road and talking to whoever, whether you're going to Newport News, Virginia, to talk about the impact of what the cuts will mean, because the Pentagon is screaming bloody murder. So the cabinet secretaries are also, like Janet Napolitano, who you just heard there, who's in charge of Homeland Security, issuing those dire warnings about what the impact is of this supposed sequester if the $85 billion in cuts start on March 1st. What's interesting, if you take a listen to what the senator from Texas was saying during the day, he's saying, listen, a lot of this stuff is just ridiculous because it's not actually what's going to happen. You know, give me a break here. What John Cornyn, Senator John Cornyn, is saying is you're listening to Leon Panetta, you're listening to Janet Napolitano and others talk about these automatic government cuts that would jeopardize national security. But even if the cuts go through on March 1st, the Pentagon will still see its budget go up. So Cornyn's saying, yeah, go ahead, President Obama, go to Virginia, talk about the Republicans and how it's their fault and why can't we stop this. But he's saying that, listen, even though you're issuing these salvos, if we look at the mandated cuts, yes, some of it could be devastating, but the overall amount of defense spending will still rise. So, yes, the Pentagon is absorbing half of the spending cuts. We knew this a year ago. This is nothing new because a bipartisan team of Republicans and Democrats couldn't actually come up with a list that they could agree upon. That's why the sequester was put in place in the first place. And who came up with the idea of the sequester? That was the president. He came up with the idea of the sequester. But I'll tell you what, you listen to Leon Panetta and you think, you better make sure you have a bunker. I'm not kidding. Because he talks about, what if we have something that happens again like we saw on 9/11? We are not prepared. But the Republicans, even among themselves, haven't decided, you know, what they're willing to give the president as far as domestic agencies and programs, or, you know, is it all just defense, if they were going to figure out a way to ease the impacts of the cuts of this automatic sequester. So the bottom line is this. We can talk around this and dance around this, as we have been doing for a year and a half. But the bottom line is, these are forced spending cuts because nobody had the cojones to come up with lists. They didn't want to have to tell someone, we're going to cut this. Sorry, we have to make a hard cut here. I think, figuring all along, we'll just keep kicking the can down the road, keep kicking the can, and it's okay because we'll just figure out a way to keep doing that. We'll just do it just like we do by pushing up the deficit ceiling, because we've always done it. It's like former Congressman Bob Ney said to us, it was no big deal in the, you know, 2001, 2002. We would just go out to lunch after we pushed up the deficit ceiling again, the debt ceiling, after we just lifted it because we needed to borrow more money. So now we're doing the same thing with these cuts. The sad thing is that it will affect all of us in some way. And there's no doubt about that, because we'll feel the impact if we fly. You know, if you're trying to get through airport security, you're trying to go look at a national park somewhere, which half of the parks will be closed down, or you need some kind of federal program you're involved with and you need an answer, good luck with that one. Oh, you know, this is how it's going to happen. There's no question about that. The automatic spending cuts, the middle class they keep talking about, we're going to try to help the middle class, is the class that keeps getting, frankly, screwed. We're all on the rack together, folks, and they're just tightening the rack. But if we don't at some point come up with some spending cuts, if we don't do this and we continue to figure out ways to put a Band-Aid over things, then we're going to have a $20 trillion deficit. That's my biggest fear. I mean, we're already into double digits and ridiculous numbers anyway. But that's the thing. Eventually, you become desensitized to the number. And the fact that we're living on a giant credit card. It is so jacked up. Oh, it is so jacked up. And remember, we're talking about $85 billion for the spending cuts. We're talking about $85 billion over the course of a decade. You know, people keep forgetting that. Every time you hear, like, the president talk about what we'll see done and how we're going to implement this, especially when it comes to cuts, we're talking about a long time. So here's the deal. There's a Senate Democratic proposal, and Victoria and I were talking about this at the beginning of the hour, that would replace the automatic spending cuts with some tax increases on wealthier Americans and more targeted spending reductions than ones that are currently there. The Democratic leaders think it'll get more than 50 votes, so they'll try to claim that they won a majority in the chamber, but it's going to fall way, way short of the 60 needed to get the Senate approval, so it means it's an exercise in futility. That's what it is. And Congress is making the decision, so the president blaming the Republicans in Congress, I don't get it. He's the one that pushed this in the first place. You know, how much and how much flexibility to enact these cuts, you know, is there available? And this whole defense thing and finding out what we need to do to make sure we're secure, obviously that wasn't a consideration when the sequester was first proposed, because we knew all along that the half of this was happening to the defensive budget. And then the next big deadline, March 27th, when funding runs out for the government. So I'll say this, if you need the government for something, you better get on it now. You know what I'm saying? If you got a DMV thing happening, you got something going on, look to your states too, because they're going to have some problems with this. You need to just jump on it right now, because who knows what's going to happen on March 27th. And, you know, this public vitriol, the back and forth, do they not realize we are just so tired of it? So the Democrats pushing their measure last week, the $110 billion, to put off mandatory across-the-board spending cuts that are going to take place on March 1st, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. They're not going to get the votes they need. So just remember this. If you're traveling, allow yourself extra time, because trust me, you are going to feel it. That's just the way it is. It's going to happen. We're going to have long wait times, because millions of dollars are going to be sucked out of the TSA budget. And why don't they just give us a turnstile so we can just go through and get to the gates? Wouldn't that be great? That means the number of agents that screen passengers and the cargo for bombs, guns, and other things, that's going to be hacked in half. I mean, to me, this fiscal doomsday that they're talking about, that's the most inconvenient thing of them all. And it's inconvenient, obviously, for a lot of people in the military who are going to find that some of their programs are wiped out. And so some towns in Virginia, for example, are going to really, really struggle with this one. That's the bottom line. They couldn't come up with a good cut list. Oscar's next.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
And the Oscar goes to Argo.
That was Michelle Obama announcing the First Lady the Oscar for the Best Pictures. You heard Argo. We talked about it last week with Stephen Shohet from Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. He's the author of that book and HollywoodStories.com. Go and check that out. So, Stephen, I think that was kind of a bit of a curveball, the First Lady announcing the big one of the night, doing it with good old Jack, who tossed the ball to her. That was a surprise. Did you think that was a smart move by the Academy and that, on that telecast, or what did you think?
I mean, I don't, even though she wasn't particularly political in her statement, I just think that you know, some people are just going to find that intrusive, and because it was totally a non-political show before that happened, and she wasn't political, and she was, you know, graceful and poised and everything like that. But I still think it's a reminder to people about the political situation who might be trying to escape from that. But I'll tell you though, I still think that the real political thing about this year wasn't Michelle Obama, the First Lady Michelle Obama, presenting the award. It's Senator Levin, Senator McCain, and Senator Feinstein publicly berating the movie Zero Dark Thirty. I think if they hadn't have done that, there's no proof. It's just a theory, but I think Zero Dark Thirty would have prevailed and beaten Argo.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's the real political story. I mean, you know, I don't think there's ever been a threat to hold hearings on a movie. I know back in 1939, the Senate was furious about the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which was about them, the Senate, and revealing some of their little secrets. And they made it clear that they were upset, but that was gone with the wind year. So I don't think Mr. Smith Goes to Washington would have won in any case. But this is, you know, absolutely, I think this movie was derailed because of these three senators, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, because I think it was the better picture. And I liked Argo, but I think Zero Dark Thirty should have gotten it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Zero Dark Thirty was, I mean, it's, you know, I happen to be lucky and have a little screener for it. It's not the type of movie I'd normally go see because, you know, I like to escape when I see movies, and it had an immediacy, sort of a news documentary feel to it, at least the subject matter, but it was so well made. It was so well directed, and you know, to me it's number one, and it got derailed.
Yeah. The what's interesting, though, is Ben Affleck, he just seemed, when he got up, he seemed so out of sorts. I don't think it was because he was surprised. Do you think it was because he was surprised when he gave his acceptance speech? Or
well,
why do you think?
I think what happens to so many people who win the Oscar, and I did win an award for my book, and then there's nothing like the Oscar. But I think what happens is their entire career flashes before their eyes. I think that's why Sally Field had the "you like me, you really, really like me" moment, because she was thinking about the Flying Nun at that moment. You know, it all comes to them. And I think, you know, like, we don't know every detail of Ben Affleck's life, but I think maybe he was thinking about a few years back being at Promises, the alcoholic recovery center in Malibu. He was thinking about maybe being best known for his relationship with Jennifer Lopez and Geely, and having a string of box office failures and being put down. And you know, he talked about not wanting to hold on to grudges. I mean, who knows what that involves, and you know, maybe he feels he was stabbed, but I think that's what happens. I think it's an out-of-body, overwhelming experience, and you know, you're there, and your mind's working on two things. Maybe you're in the moment, but you're also reminiscing.
Yeah, I agree with you. The other thing that happens at these award shows, and especially the Oscars, the pressure for the comedians to pull it off and make it work. We wanted people to hear this first. Here is kind of a little bit of a montage of Seth MacFarlane.
Argo tells the previously classified story about an American hostage rescue in post-revolutionary Iran. Now, the story was so top secret that the film's director is unknown to the Academy. Daniel Day-Lewis is here, of course. Now, you were totally 100% in character as Lincoln 24/7 during the movie. That's what I read. Like, you stayed in character all day, every day. So, like, if you saw a cell phone, would you have to be like, oh my God, what's that? Django Unchained. This is the story of a man fighting to get back his woman who's been subjected to unthinkable violence. Or as Chris Brown and Rihanna call it, a date movie.
All right, so Seth MacFarlane, people always talk about, like I said, the host afterwards. How do you think he did?
You know, it's very polarizing. I mean, I laughed sometimes, and sometimes I didn't, you know, and you know, you can't expect every joke to be perfect, that's for sure, but he does stretch the envelope, and you wonder, I wondered sometimes about the meaning of it, like when he said, you know, he said that Denzel Washington was in the movie Nutty Professor. Is he saying that is that how Hollywood looks at black actors, that they're interchangeable? Or is it how he looks at black actors? I mean, I don't know. It was just strange. And then at the end, you know, when he's talking about, he was saying the song The Biggest Losers, I'm sorry, Here's to the Losers, is he making fun of what they do when they announce the award and the Oscar goes to instead of the winner is he making fun of political correctness? I guess I'm a little slow on the uptake because I guess I needed it explained to me, but some of it I laughed. I thought it was funny having Shatner come back in time and say, you know, here's the history and you were the worst Oscar host ever. I mean, I thought that was self-deprecating. Now, obviously, if you're going to do something like that I saw your boobs number, that is going to offend some people, and he has to know that it's going to offend some people. But the one thing is that the actresses were in on it, the ones who gave the negative reactions, at least. That was pre-filmed. If you look at Charlize Theron's dress, she was wearing a different dress than she was. So that's one thing. It's like Eminem at the MTV Awards a few years ago when Sacha Baron Cohen landed on him. I mean, it's a gag, but But anyway, you know, when you go there, you're obviously going to rub people some wrong way. And he certainly did. But the ratings were really, really high.
Yeah, weren't they? Somebody said like 20% up. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the highest they had in years. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, somebody watched. And I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, I was watching an interview with Ari Emanuel, who was the basis for the character Ari on the TV show Entourage, a super agent in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because all he was talking about were the creative people. I mean, not that actors aren't creative, but the people like Seth MacFarlane and Larry David, the creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld, and Suzanne Collins, the creator of The Hunger Games. That's who he was interested in representing. I think... you know, slowly the stars are becoming less important and the creative people are becoming more important. And I think the ratings indicate that the public is very aware of the creative people. I mean, I should say content providers at this point, more than they ever have been before. I think when people go to science fiction conventions, they're almost as excited or maybe even more excited meeting the writers than they are meeting the stars at this point. So I think, you know, Hollywood is changing, you know, that there's a great interest in the people behind the scenes.
Yeah. The best moment overall in the Oscars, in your opinion?
Oh, that's, you know, that's really good. For me, I guess I'd say the Les Miserables cast coming out and singing, you know, all together. I think that was probably the most powerful thing. I also thought Daniel Day-Lewis's speech was really great and humble. And, obviously everybody expected him to win. But I think, he's just a person, at least for me personally, he's such a great actor. I just want to hear what he's going to say. And now no movies for him. He's planning a 5-year sabbatical, spending most of his time on his farm in Ireland. Now, maybe something will come along that will tempt him out of retirement or temporary retirement. And because he works so little, almost every movie he's in becomes an event.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And everything else was inevitable. You and I talked about this. We only have a couple minutes left, but Jennifer Lawrence wins, Anne Hathaway wins, except for Ang Lee gets director. That was nice, huh?
This year, to me, it's almost like a Roger Maris asterisk type of thing. I just think if Affleck would have been in it, he would have won. And I think,
Right. Of course,
if the three senators hadn't done what they had done, maybe Catherine Bigelow would have won.
And once
they weren't in it, then... See, the real Best Director award to me of the evening was Argo winning and Ben Affleck getting to make a speech. I mean, there's George Clooney up there who hired Ben Affleck, and a lot of times the producer would be the one talking. I mean, Ben Affleck co-produced it, but a lot of times the senior producer would be the one doing the talking, and George Clooney elected not to say anything because he felt it was Ben Affleck's night. So I think even though Ang Lee won and totally deserved it, Spielberg would have deserved it too. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean it's subjective. But I really think that Ben Affleck, it seems like he won it. I mean, because of the way it went for Argo, that it just swept every award there was.
Yeah, I agree. Stephen Shohead, HollywoodStories.com. Pick up the book as well, Hollywood Stories. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up next, we're talking about meetings. Too bad they don't have less meetings in Washington and get down to the business of figuring things out. They could take a page out of the book of this next lady we're going to talk to, Carson Tate. Meetings, meetings, meetings. We're tired of them.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption, absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
It's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983. Sending real food to your real future.
Tonight, I don't know if you've been in your career, like I have been in my career, abused by meetings after meetings after meetings that just absolutely seem to go nowhere. I mean, you can have meetings, but they have to be efficient, and there has to be a purpose to the meetings. But this seems to be what a lot of corporations are stuck in, this meeting mold. So we thought it'd be fun to have Carson Tate on with us. She's the managing partner at Working Simply. Carson, do you think that is it just an old, outdated model, or in our minds is this, I know this is a two-part question, in our minds is it if we have a meeting we must be doing something right? What's the deal? And first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kate. I'm really glad to be on with you, so thank you. First part of your question, I do think it is somewhat of an old, outdated model, and it takes us a while sometimes to let go of things that have worked really well for us in the past. And secondly, I do think that it does make us feel a little bit more productive, but we are human, and so we crave a connection. So meetings are a way to connect with other people.
So, and I agree with that. It's a way to connect with other people. But how do you, if you're the person who calls the meeting, and, they can be all kinds of different meetings, what do you do to try to keep on track to make sure that people are getting something out of it?
Great question. So there are three things that we recommend to stay on track and make sure that people are getting something out of the meeting. First, know why you're calling the meeting. What is it that you want to accomplish, and what is going to be the end result at the end of that meeting? And it could be we will have explored XYZ idea and decide to take the next step with a certain idea. So know why you're calling the meeting and what the outcome is. Prepare a meeting agenda and send it out in advance of the meeting. That way you seed the outcome or the result to all of the participants so they know what they need to be thinking about, and you ensure that the right people show up at the meeting. And then lastly, think about the people that need to be invited, because their time, and our belief time is a commodity, their time is a really valuable resource. And if they're spending their time in your meeting and not doing something else, is that the highest and best use of their time?
Yeah. I mean, because really, is it truly, what is our biggest commodity? Wouldn't you say it's time?
It is time. Absolutely. It's absolutely. We're only given 24 hours a day, and we're always at choice on how we choose to use it or invest it. And so when you think about the meetings that are stacked up on your calendar, I always ask, what's the return on my time investment? How am I contributing to the strategic goals of the organization? How is this moving me forward in my career or in advancing the goals that I've stated for myself?
And then what about the other thing is to set other meetings, because part of this whole culture thing of breaking the meetings that don't seem to go anywhere. What about the idea of do you think pretty much when you leave you have to have action items or accountability or timelines? Because that also seems to be a simple thing, but a lot of people just kind of miss the boat on that.
Absolutely. Kate, you make an excellent point. But at the end of the meeting, we recommend that you always end by talking about specific next action steps. What action is going to be taken by which meeting participants? When is it due? And how are they going to report out or follow up on the stated action? And if you cannot come up with an action step at the end of the meeting, I think you might have just realized that that meeting was a huge waste of your time.
Yeah. How hard is it to, especially in a corporate culture, I mean, you and I are talking, and I bet you if you and I worked together, we get it, we'd be a team, and we could crack the whip, and I think people would follow us. But that's not the case in a lot of corporations, because they have layers upon layers of management. So how do you crack that management?
It's a great question, and I think you crack that management culture that's managing by meetings, or there's a high value or high focus on meetings, by making the case, maybe to your boss, he invites you to yet another meeting and you're not sure why you're being invited there, how you're going to contribute, go to him or her and say, I'm going to decline the meeting. Here's why. These are the two things I'm going to work on during this hour that I think are the highest and best use of my time and directly relate, oh, by the way, to the revenue that our company is trying to achieve. And raise that awareness and see what your manager says, because sometimes it's just we're blindly doing what we've always done before. But if you stop, raise your flag, and say, hey, this is what I'd like to do, you can actually start to affect change.
Yeah. How long, and this might be tough because, of course, all meetings are different. So, you know, are you looking at goals? Is it just a quarterly thing? Is it a specific project you're working on? But should there be a time consideration? I mean, look, we have the attention spans, most of us, of NAC.
Right. So take that into consideration. But it goes back to what are you trying to accomplish in the meeting? So you align the purpose or the results that you want to achieve in the meeting for the length of time. So, Kate, if you and I were just doing a quick weekly check-in on what's going on this week, where do you need me to support you, I would say let's do it standing up, 15 minutes, coffee cups in hand, and be done. It's really, really fast. But if you're looking at innovation, product development, those meetings are probably going to be a little bit longer, but not so long that we lose our focus. So 90 minutes is really kind of the upper limit, I would say, of anyone's attention span.
I like that idea of in-person meetings, the standing up. Why standing up?
Because after a while, our legs get tired. We want to go sit down, so we're going to end the meeting. So you let the natural physics support you. But there's also, I think, in standing up, there's a different energy that's conveyed. It's a more action-oriented mindset. And people don't tend to stand and talk for hours on end. I mean, even if you go to like a social event or a cocktail party, you tend to mix and mingle around the different crowds and maybe sit at a certain point. But you don't stand there talking about the same topic for 90 minutes.
Yeah. And do you sometimes, because you know it'll happen, you'll get some people that'll be disgruntled, think they didn't get a chance. Depending on the meeting, they'll think they didn't get a chance to say their last couple of seconds of what they think has to happen or what direction. Is it good to kind of do, and I don't know what you would term it as, but is there anything sort of like a fast round where everybody goes around and they get like 1 minute, here's my last salvo, this is my last thought on it?
Hey, that's a great point. A lightning round. You've got 1 minute. It's a lightning round. Go. And if you prepare people ahead of time, I think that's a really important point. If you're going to change the format of your meeting and you're going to a 15-minute standing huddle, not everybody is as quick as other folks. But if you allow them to prepare, you give them agenda, you let them know at the end, it's a 1 minute, 60-second lightning round, be ready to go, everybody is able to contribute at that point.
Yeah. I'm sure you've told clients this, and have they come back to you? Because, you know, as I said, with the layers upon layers at a corporation, you might be middle management or you might be somewhere a little bit above that, but you're certainly not the president of the company or the VP, and you're kind of rocking the boat there. I bet you've had people that have been hesitant to do it, and then they might have taken your advice and done it. And what's been the results of that?
When they rock the boat, so when they have the meeting revolution in their organization, the result is very, very positive because ultimately they're getting more done. They're getting the right work done. They're not wasting people's time. There's a new energy and excitement. I know that I'm not going to have, you know, fatigue in my rear from sitting there for 90 minutes and having done nothing. So it's that initial fear, moving through that, and then being very intentional and purposeful around how you're going to reconfigure your meeting that you are responsible for and or the ones that you choose to attend.
Yeah. And here's another thing, too. I was just thinking of this. Maybe it depends on the number of people. Is it good sometimes to have kind of limit the number of people? Like, let's not just have the whole company here because we're not, for goodness sake, laying out company benefits, because that happens. That happened in a lot of meetings in radio that I was involved in. There'd be stragglers, and the stragglers, Carson, would have the craziest questions and would drag the meetings on, but they weren't really part of the core or didn't even really have to be there. So should there sometimes be consideration given to how many people you have in these meetings?
Absolutely, Kate. Absolutely. So, you know, if it is a company-wide update, the entire company probably needs to be there. It's like a State of the Union. But if you're looking at a specific policy issue where you need subject matter experts on that policy to really review it and understand the details, then just get the experts in the room. Then you can start to circulate and popularize it and get consensus building in a different format, but not at that initial meeting. You know, there's some really great data around the groups and ideal group size that could be leveraged as you think about your meetings. You know, 5 to 7 people is really about optimal for most types of meetings that require some level of decision-making.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes what happens is that people have these impromptu meetings even where they follow people into the lunchroom, into the restroom, out to their car, and that's just craziness.
It is. My client got very tired of having conversations through stall walls. That just wasn't working.
Oh, that is so bad. That is. You just got to give somebody a break. You know, I think about that. I think about that with meetings, with people that do that, someone that's maybe, a boss in a company or a celebrity. Can you imagine being a celebrity and just trying to use the restroom? It'd be awful.
That'd be awful. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't either. Well, you were a delight. Carson Tate, again, managing partner at Working Simply. Check it out, workingsimply.com. Thanks a lot. I'm going to go have a meeting.
Okay, don't have a meeting. Revolt. Thanks so much.
I got to join the revolt. All right, thanks, Carson.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.